This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Today is the second big holiday devoted to the Holy Sophia in our tradition. In August, we celebrated the Assumption of the Holy Sophia, the end of the mythic cycle, where Sophia is redeemed from the world of matter and returned. Today, we celebrate the Descent, the beginning of it all, in many Gnostic systems of thought, in Gnostic stories, mythologies. They begin with the figure of Sophia, of wisdom, as an emanation of the Most High God, referred to as an Aeon. Being a part of this emanation of God, being a part of the fullness, coming to be aware of herself and seeking after, yearning for, longing for the light, seeking after and yearning for something more. I think of it as being a little bit of consciousness, a spark of consciousness, seeking the fullness of consciousness. There are many ways to view this story. There is no one way. As the story continues, Sophia looks and sees what she longs for. And she takes action. She moves towards that. She moves towards what she sees that she longs for. This is a very pragmatic, logical, rational thing to do. There are those in the world who like to mock Sophia in the Gnostic tradition for having made a mistake. However, to act, to take action oneself, is always to make mistakes, be mistaken about something, to be wise, to be wisdom, not to be all-knowing or all-powerful. Those things would preclude the need for wisdom. Instead, wisdom is the ability deal with all that comes one's way at a higher level, from a higher perspective, and not be stuck with a limited view, with a selfish view, or with the usual needs of ourselves as egos, as body. Sophia sees what she seeks. She sees the light. The only mistake is that it was a reflection of the light in the darkness. And in moving towards the light she saw, she left the light she was in and did not see. And this is where we find ourselves so often. We cannot see the ocean in which we swim. Cannot see how our environment changes us, shapes us, is a part of us. And even those things we can see to some extent if we try hard, if we use the tools available. There are more things that we cannot see, no matter how hard we may try the tools available. Things we can only see through gnosis. The deeper sea that we are part of. The divinity, the light that we participate in. Sophia did not see that. And moving to participate in the light, she left it. But that is not the end of the story by any means. Story of Sophia, the descent of Sophia, be seen on many levels. One of them is the story of our souls, of our deepest yearning, of our deepest desires, of how we seek the light. Where is the light? It is within us. But can we simply understand that? Can we know that fully? Can we have gnosis of that without action, without interaction, without a journey, transformation? No. If everyone were born with gnosis, the world would be a very different place. But it is something we must attain, something we must become, grow into. And as the story progresses, Sophia attempts an act of creativity. She tries to give birth to something. But as texts tell us, she did so without the consent of the spirit, without the participation of the larger story of the divinity, larger movement, the larger and deeper sea. Those currents were not aiding her. And so what she created was very limited and flawed. This being is usually referred to as the demiurge, the half-maker, being who is unaware of everything that has gone on before. It was true. Nature of the universe, of his place in the universe. And so, being the only one around, not seeing anybody else besides to proclaim himself the one true God. Well, if nobody objects, you can get away with these things. And we can understand demiurge in many ways. One of the ways we can understand demiurge is as our own human egos. That part of us that decides it's all of us early on in life and thinks it is in control of all things, but is really just the caretaker, the night watchman, pretending to be the owner of the place. And gets way out of hand most of the time. As the story progresses, there is a creation from this semi-creator, half-maker, the demiurge, this creative desire is implicit, it's there from the very beginning, moves through all things, and it creates really flawed creations, strange animal-like creatures that Sophia takes pity on and implants seeds of light within. One of the texts talks about her seeing Adam and Eve as creatures with souls, but no spirit. So she gives them that light. I view this a lot of different ways. But when we look out at the world, it is consciousness that is looking out. And if consciousness is to be anything more than merely looking out, there must be more. There must be knowledge, understanding, wisdom. And more than that, a point to it all. Some meaning to it all. We simply have consciousness, well and good, but so what? What does it mean? Well, as far as we will go in the story is just to the next step. And that is Sophia having essentially emanated different aspects of herself into the creation. One aspect of this inhabits the serpent for a time and clues in Adam and Eve that they are being held captive in a state of unconsciousness, in a state of captivity that really is beneath them. That these powerful beings are not divine beings in the ultimate sense. They are merely powers of the world. They are archons. She shows them a way forward. When Sophia first acted, she fell and set about all these events. It is, of course, a story, a myth, a symbol, and it should not be taken literally, should not be taken only one way. It does lead us somewhere very deeply. The wisdom of God is what set apart, what set off this chain of events. The yearning of an emanation of God, for God and His fullness. The yearning of God to know God. Yearning of consciousness to become conscious of something. It's a part of many creation stories. It's notably a Kabbalistic one. And that we are a part of that story. We are a continuation of that tale. We are the fulfillment, in our small way, of the story of God. It begins with these emanations, continues with the actions of Sophia, through into our world, the coming of the Logos as a redemptive power to show us the way to liberation and to redeem fallen Sophia. As we celebrate it on the Assumption. The stories continually play themselves out. They are not histories. They are the stories of ourselves, stories of our souls. And in them, there is wisdom, not just as a character, but in its deepest sense. In the sense that we must spend the time to examine, to reflect, to allow to grow, and to listen to the wisdom that is within us, how it responds to these stories, where it guides us, and to be unafraid to act. As in the world, our actions will go awry. That can be guaranteed. But we may also accomplish great things as well, or accomplish small things. We must live out our lives. We must seek the light ourselves. And if it leads us into darkness, well, in darkness it is much easier to see the light. For in darkness the light is much more visible. We act, we follow our inner wisdom. We live out our story that is a part of her story, that is a part of this larger story, working itself out throughout all that is, all that was, and all that will be. And we play our part. We are the heirs and children of wisdom. We have received wisdom, both divine wisdom and also the wisdom that has been preserved, that has been passed down to us, given to us as a gift, as a great inheritance, as a lesson sense. You desire riches, what is better than wisdom? Wisdom is more precious than rubies. And we have received that. Accept it. It's yours. People have given their lives, lived their lives, worked through their lives to pass down what we have received. With grateful hearts, let us receive it. For wisdom did not merely descend once into the cosmos and into a flawed cosmos, but wisdom descends into works, into books, into stories. These are all flawed, but wisdom is there. And that is what we celebrate this day, the presence of wisdom. Wisdom that we have received, wisdom that is the mother of our deepest selves. May the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us and remain with us all.
For more information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG.